This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield called life. And this week and next week, I'm going to be talking about lies. Specifically today, I'm going to be talking about our post-truth culture and what it is doing to us. And then next week, I'll be talking about breaking the strongholds of lies. And that will be a powerful time getting into the core beliefs that we have that are distorted and what I do when I'm helping with people and counseling to overcome those core beliefs and break those lies and strongholds. So that will be next week. Before I jump in, a couple announcements. June 21st to the 23rd, a couple months, we're going to be having a men's retreat in Beulah, Colorado. Beulah is a wonderful mountain city, small city of around 1,500. At elevation of around, I think, 5,000 or 6,000 in Colorado. It's about 75 minutes southwest of Colorado Springs. And it's a wonderful time. It goes from Friday dinner time through Sunday late morning. And those weekends are powerful. And we get into – I'm leading it. I'm leading the three retreats I'm going to mention here. And I get into your identity in Christ and equipping you to be an overcomer. And there's plenty of time in the afternoon on Saturday for rest and seeking God. And man, during the nutso times we live in, rest, when so many people are just wiped out and burn out, rest is so critical and needed these days. And fellowship with other believers and times of prayer. And we talk about spiritual warfare. And so that's the men's retreat, again, June 21st to the 23rd. June 28th to the 30th, I'm leading a wife's heart retreat. Same thing, Friday from Friday night at dinner through Sunday late morning. And this is powerful healing time for wives of men who are struggling with porn addiction. And we focus on what it looks like to heal the wife's heart, your identity as a beloved daughter of Christ, separating who you are from your husband's sin, and looking at fear and triggers. And then Saturday afternoon, you have time alone for rest and time with God. Spiritual warfare, we get into that. So that's June 28th through the 30th, Friday through Sunday. And then September 13th to 15th, having a couples retreat in Beulah, Colorado. And this is for couples who want to heal. But everything we'll be going through in these retreats are beneficial to everyone. So go to the website if you want to sign up or register or take part of it. And then tonight, we're doing something a little different. You've heard me talk about prayer a lot. And what did Jesus do? Luke 6:12. In these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. So tonight, from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., we're having a night of prayer, and it'll be praying for each other. There's people who have registered for this who are in other countries. We'll be praying that God would drop and break the strongholds in the church when it comes to dealing with sexual issues, the strongholds of silence and fear and arrogance and those things, and praying into specific situations and praying for each other. And It continues to boggle my mind that we're not running prayer meetings 7 days a week in all of our churches. And what this sometimes what I really think it is, we don't believe that prayer is as powerful as we say or we preach it is. Because if we did, we'd be praying on our weekend Sunday services. We'd be praying. We'd have prayer meetings 7 days a week at our churches. But I don't know that. I mean, our actions reveal what we believe. And you have to look at that in the modern church. So a lot of what modern churches are showing us is that the loud rock band with shaking the walls with, you know, the six-figure sound system and the sermon are enough. But it's not enough. And prayer is the engine. It is the power behind every believer in every church. So let's talk about lies. Let's talk about the post-truth culture we live in. And where did I get that? And I'm going to read a quote from an article here from Science Direct. And I've noticed there's several articles out there saying now we live in a post-truth culture. And so here's the article. Post-truth refers to a situation whereby facts and truth have lost their value in political and public debate. The concept is not so much used to suggest that the truth does not exist, but that facts and truth have become secondary to our point of view. And that's a key phrase there, our point of view. Every person is now supposedly their own little God determining what truth is. One of the most noteworthy elements of recent elections is the degree to which campaigns display an utter disregard for facts. Instead, they rely on emotive and often demonstrably false statements designed to sway voters. It has been long accepted that politicians lie. What distinguishes post-truth politics from that of the past is the lack of concern about getting caught in the act of lying. They don't care. In the ascendancy of post-truth politics, it's not that society has moved past truth, but in the sense that truth has become irrelevant. And let's just shoot straight. Both presidential candidates are lying. One has a bigger mouth and can tell bigger lies, but they're both lying. One of them, you know, I watched and I don't like to get into politics much because so many people are screaming about that stuff, and I just really try to avoid it. I let other people talk about that, but for the purpose of this, you know, one article, the news comes out that inflation has gone up, and then people know it has, and then the talk coming out of the office is that, oh, inflation is going down, and people know this is a line of crap. You go to the gas pump and you know. You go to the grocery store and you know. And housing prices. It's just it just amazes me how both candidates will just tell all-out lies. And it's almost as if we've been so cauterized by all the lying that people don't do anything anymore. They aren't shocked anymore. They aren't calling them out on it. When they do call them out, it's just like Teflon man. Nobody cares. And this is so very dangerous because once you lose faith in all of your institutions, this is a part of what's feeding the cultural mess we're in because nobody believes in anything anymore. And so are there consequences to lying? Can politicians just blow it out there? Can the news media just blow it out there? Well, you know, in the 2020 election, Fox News was having news reports about Dominion voting systems, and they accused them of stealing the election or rigging the 2020 presidential election against Donald Trump. So Dominion sued Fox News for $1.6 billion. And what happened was, last spring of 2023, there was going to be a jury trial. They elected the jury. And then right before the trial was going to begin, Fox News just backed off, put up the white flag, and they agreed to a $787 million settlement. $787 million. And think about it for a moment. Fox News has a lot of deep pockets. They could afford the best lawyers, dare I even say con men, there are. they could afford to spend tens of millions of dollars fighting that case, yet they put up the white flag and said, okay, we'll pay $787 million. So why is that? Obviously, they understood they didn't have ground to stand on. What the stuff that they were publishing and saying was not the truth. Otherwise, they would have fought it. And the CEO of Dominion, among one other things, he said, truthful reporting in the media is essential to our democracy. And let's be honest, do we believe right or left side of our news medias? I don't. I take it with a grain of salt because they both have their slant. And I bring this out because lies have consequences, whether it's in the political arena or in the news media. But let's drill down a little further here. What was one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not lie. It is a sin. Do you remember? Let's talk about some biblical consequences. Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira? I'll read to you from Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself. This is when the early church was just getting going. With his wife's full knowledge and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him up, and they carried him out, and they buried him. And then, I'm not going to go from verse 7, but what happened is his wife came in, Peter says the same words to her, boom, she drops dead, just like her husband. And part of it just looks to me like they had been so convinced of the lies that they were giving all of the proceeds that they believed them at that point. And that's how dangerous this can be. And when we start, if we lie, lying to another human being is common, but if lying to God is like, that's dangerous ground. That's saying, you're not going to do anything. There's no justice here. There's no consequences here. And that's what the lie that our culture and even some Christians have bought into. There are severe consequences for lying, and it corrupts the character. And you remember how Satan took Adam and Eve down? Lies. God told them not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan said, you're not going to have any problem. Basically, boom, they were corrupted with sin. Lies. He is hooking so many people with lies these days. Let's talk about social media for a moment. I'm going to read to you from an article that a guy named Jonathan Haidt wrote. He is a social psychologist at the New York University Stern School of Business. And he writes, and this is about social media, in their early incarnations, platforms such as MySpace, remember them, and Facebook were relatively harmless. They allowed users to create pages on which to post photos, family updates, and links to the most static pages of their friends and favorite bands. Basically, it was a really big photo album and maybe a messaging board. But then in 2009, Facebook came out with likes and shares, and Twitter came out with retweets, and then Haidt continues. He writes, but gradually, social media users became more adept at putting on performances, lock on to that, putting on performances and managing their personal brand. Activities that might impress others, but do not deepen friendships in the way that a private phone conversation will. Once social media platforms had trained users to spend more time performing and less time connecting, the stage was set for the major transformation, which began in 2009. He calls it the intensification of viral dynamics. That was what I just mentioned when likes and shares came out, because some people are performing and get likes and shares. So basically what he's saying is social media has trained us to fake it. And what do you see a lot of when you're on social media? You see people posting pictures. Everybody's always smiling, you know, putting their best foot forward. Some of those pictures are so obviously staged. Some of them, they look so giddy. You just know they're performing to look good for their social media page. And I'm talking about people in ministry, too. It's one of those, look at me, I'm full of joy and blessings always, and life is great, and don't you want to be like me? And we see, you know, we see, this is what we see a lot of. And then, of course, in the Christian community, too, you see a lot of Christians and people criticizing and tearing up things they don't like or things that are going wrong. But what you don't see, or what is very rare in social media, is people sharing their struggles with depression, making mistakes, struggles with sin or temptation, God forbid, lust or pornography, problems in their marriage. Who shares that on social media? Overeating, pride, arrogance. How about spiritual warfare? I mean, how many of those ministry people who have those bright, shining smiles ever talk about the intense spiritual battles, that is, if what they're doing is effective, they go through? You don't see that. And I struggle with those things. I'm not looking with porn, but I'm well into my third year with long COVID. I have struggles and bouts with the neurological effects of long COVID, the depression crashes, the anxiety crashes. I make mistakes. I get slammed with temptation all the time. It's in the 90-degree mark again here in Arizona, and the clothes are coming off again. I get the temptation. I get the pull to look and to maul women with my eyes, and the magnetic pull to look at all that skin. I have to keep my eyes ground, and well, ground's not a good word, but I have to keep my spirit, my flesh, punctured into the wall, basically. And you have to watch it quite often. I have these struggles. And then problems in marriage. Marriage is tough. There's times when my marriage isn't in a good place. Overeating, not for me, not so much. Pride, I think every single believer, if they're honest, has to be very, very careful with pride. Okay? Because that is a snake. Then once it starts coming at us, it's very subtle, and once we let get a grip, it can cause a lot of damage. And spiritual warfare all the time. This is real life, but social media doesn't give you real life. It gives you everybody is happy, everybody is joyful. The Christian life is just a cakewalk, and it is not. And so that's an illusion, but it could also be called a lie. And some of you could say, yeah, I don't want to share my stuff there, and that's fine, but we have to remember, what are we here for? Are we here to promote our personal brand? So if you're in ministry on social media, share your struggles. Share the spiritual warfare. Share what's tough about it, because people can relate to that. I can't relate to somebody who's always got a giddy smile on. This is what we're doing here. There's a lot of warfare all over, you know, from different angles, family, marriage, everywhere. And it's because what are we doing? We're exposing the truth that many people in the church are in bondage to sexual sin. We're running from it. The enemy doesn't want that brought out. He's very happy to keep everyone happy and giddy and thinking everything is wonderful. And an apathy, but that's not the real world. I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 7, where Paul says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, For this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Remember, this is Paul, the guy who would walk around and cast demons out of people. He had that authority. And God's not letting that suffering, he's not letting it back up or back off. And God sent to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When is the last time you posted or told anybody about your weaknesses? When is the last time you boasted of your weaknesses, particularly on social media? When I, in my books, my videos, on this radio program, my newsletters, I weave in and I'm transparent with my own struggles because I want what is real and what is true. I don't want to come off like I have it all together when I don't. I want to be able to, I'm a broken person. I want to be able to relate to other broken people. That is what is real, and that is what is real life to me. That is what I want. I don't want, you know, people thinking this is just a big cakewalk. It is not. I saw one survey that said that the average American will lie 1 to 2 times a day. And at first I thought, wait a minute, I'm not lying 1 to 2 times a day. And then I started thinking about it a little bit. How many times somebody walk up to me and said, hey, how you doing? And I'm doing terrible. You know, maybe the COVID symptoms are really slamming me hard and I feel incredibly crummy or whatever it is. Maybe tough time at home. How many times have somebody said to me, how you doing? And then I grunt, you know, yeah, yeah, I'm doing great. That's a lie. And what do we do sometimes in some of our churches where, you know, they do that thing where everybody says, turn around and greet one another, and they give you about a whole whopping 30 seconds to do that. And all of a sudden, everybody stands up and they get this giddy, fake smile on their face, and everybody says the exact same thing. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And then everybody kind of looks down. They don't know what else to say. And then they look at the other, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. So we're literally training ourselves to lie and to hide when we're doing that stuff. So if you're going to break people up, give them 20 minutes to actually answer the question and give them time to pray for each other. Don't do this 30-second fake it thing. But this is what we're doing in our churches, and this is what our post-truth culture has been doing to us, that we've been trained to fake it, that we've been trained that the truth doesn't matter anymore. And what are some other lies? Well, pornography is a lie. They look like they're having the time of their life. I had a woman on the show last week, Jan Coleman, who is an ex-porn actress, and she talked about how devastating it is. They're not having the time of their life. They're destroying their lives. Porn is a lie. You know what else is a lie? The churches don't struggle with that stuff. That's a lie, and that's cooperating with Satan when we don't open that stuff up full industrial strength. We're pretending like we got it all together, and we don't. What is the truth? Brag about your weaknesses. Brag about them at church. Sometimes the best sermon I think a pastor can do is not a verse-by-verse study, even as powerful and as much as we need those, is saying, you know what? I really screwed up in my marriage this morning. You know what? I really struggle with lust. Wouldn't that get the room really quiet if that happened? Because God can fix through our weaknesses. Your story has power. The truth has power. Don't cover it up. Share your weaknesses on social media. Share your weaknesses in the truth. And I'm not saying dump your whole life story. I don't do that. But I share enough that people get the idea that this guy didn't have it all together. And that's what I want, because who gets the glory in the end? It's the God who gives me strength, not me. And isn't that really what we're hopefully here about, is to glorify him, be filled with him, strengthened with him, have his wisdom and power, and not being a bunch of posers? Let's not go there. Let's not do that. So thank you for joining us. Again, next week I'll get into breaking the strongholds of lies, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.